Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 18 and 19 of John, chapter 15. Come, let us hear the word of the living God. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love its own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Amen. So reads God's holy, precious word. And we pray the Lord himself will please bless it to us this evening. Our text for this evening is verses 18 and 19. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. These words that we read here, they are very profound words that we have before us. They are very telling words of what is going to be our experience in this world, what is going to be the experience of the Christian. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ spoken to his disciples just before he would depart. He was going to be crucified, and in 3 days he would rise from the dead, a glorious body, and then live 40 days on this world and then be taken up into glory. So they come at a very poignant moment in the lives of the believers, and he is warning them what it's going to be like to be his disciples. And he's speaking to us here too. These are not just for the 12, or we could say the 11, because one of them would be Judas who would betray him, but they are for all disciples, all followers of Christ. These words tell us about what is going to be our experience in this life as we live for Jesus Christ, as we're born again. Now the question that I want to deal with this evening is, what does the Bible say about friends? What does the Bible teach us about the world that we live in and about friends? Being friends with people in the world, what does the Bible say about that? Who really are our friends? Are the people in the world our friends? Are they to be our friends? What does the Bible have to say about this subject, about friendship? Now, this comes with a heavy burden on my heart because I'm aware that it's school holidays. And young people have a lot of time on their hands, or more time, should I say, during the school holidays. And there will be more opportunity to meet with people in the world. And I want this to be a timely message so that we think about our relationships with people, our relationships with people in this world. How are we to view our relationships in the light of what the Lord Jesus Christ has to say here? So it's not just to the young people. Now it is indeed. Firstly, there's a burden for the young people tonight, but this also applies to each and every one of us, adults, young people, old people. How are we to live in this world? If we truly are Christ's disciples, how are we to view our relationships? Well, if you look at this verse that we read, there is a very sobering fact that the Lord Jesus Christ puts before us. He tells his disciples in verse 19, look with me, if ye were of the world would love his own. And the world does love his own. The world loves people that are just like the world. But then he goes on to say, but I have chosen you out of the world. In other words, he's drawing a contrast. If ye were of the world would love his own. The world is not going to love you. Why? Because I have chosen you out of the world And now look, therefore the world hateth you. If you are truly a Christian, the people in this world will hate you. Make no mistake about it. If the people in this world love you, you have serious question as to ask whether you are a Christian, whether you are born again. The measure by which the world loves you speaks as to your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and how close you are to Christ or whether you are in him at all. The words are very compelling. They're unambiguous. They're straightforward. The world will hate you. If you are a Christian, your friends, your acquaintances, should I say, who are unbelievers, will deep down in their hearts not like you. And that ought to temper the way that you view the world. Firstly, I want to ask this evening, what really is a friend? What is a friend? Is a friend merely somebody that you hang around with and say a few jokes with or talk with? Is that a friend? Is that really a friend? Well, look at verse 15 with me. Let's just backtrack in this passage. John 15:15. The Lord Jesus Christ here speaks about what a friend is. He says, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Something we can learn right here from these words of the Lord Jesus. A friend is somebody that you share everything, or almost everything with, and that you have in common with. That's truly a friend. Unless, of course, you're leading a double life. Now, if you say you're a Christian, and you have people in the world who you would say are your friends, but you cannot share with them the things about the Lord Jesus Christ, I submit to you, you've not shared with them the deepest things of your soul, your deepest concerns about holiness, about righteousness, about heaven, about hell, about sin. Here the Lord Jesus says, this is the reason I've called you friends, but I've called you friends for, because all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. There's the definition, God's definition of a friend. No secrets. The Lord Jesus Christ has revealed all things about heaven and earth, holiness, righteousness, judgment to come. You see, the people of this world cannot be your friends if we do not have these things in common with. The world cannot be your friend. This is why he tells us there in verse 19, the world will hate you, because the world hates Christ, hates those things. They cannot be truly friends. What you have are acquaintances. And you have to be careful not to call them friends. The Bible is very clear on this matter. Who are our friends? Well, our friends cannot be the people of this world. Now, I'm not saying that we don't talk to people in this world, that we somehow cut ourselves off and live as recluses or live as hermits, completely isolated from the world. But remember, they're not your friends. They're acquaintances. They never can be your friend. Can they? Well, let's see what the scriptures have to say. The second thing I want us to think about, what is a friend? A friend is someone that has our very best interest at heart. Wouldn't you agree with that? I mean, somebody that is not interested in your welfare, in your well-being, in your soul, in your destiny, is not your friend. People that could care less about your never-dying soul, you cannot say, are your friends. That's why no one in the world that doesn't know Christ is even capable of being your friend or my friend. Just realize that. What is the definition of a friend? Not your idea of a friend, not my idea of a friend, but God's definition of a friend is somebody that cares deeply for your soul. Somebody that cares about you as a person. Please turn with me to James chapter 4 and verse 4. James 4 and verse 4. James is the half-brother of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was believed to be battered to death, thrown from a rooftop. Why? Because the world does not love the disciples of Jesus Christ. Think of this. Here is a man writing these things, facing immediate opposition, not because he was the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, but because he was a disciple of the Lord Jesus. Here was a man that was killed for the sake of Christ. And he says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Now, does James mean somebody that is just worldly? No, he cannot mean that. "Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God?" It's not just being worldly. You see, to be worldly means to be associating with the worldly, means to have friends who are worldly. That's why we cannot be a friend of the world. It's not just the things in the world, but it's the people of the world. And you see what James says? He says, "Ye adulterers." In other words, he's saying to his hearers who are friends of people in the world, when I mean friends, I mean close, intimate friendships with the world, you are called an adulterer and an adulteress. And then Paul goes on to say, "Know ye not that no adulterer or adulteress or fornicator shall inherit the kingdom of God?" Why? Because you have more love for friends and people of this world than of Christ. And we're going to see why it is you cannot be a friend of the world. The Lord is not just simply laying down the law as if to say, well, this is just my rule, but there's a reason for this rule. Because with friendships always comes compromise. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God, and you cannot serve your friend. You cannot serve God and riches. You cannot serve the people of this world and God at the same time. It's impossible. He says, if you are, you are being adulterous to God, unfaithful to God. And if you are somebody with close, intimate relationships with people in the world, you are, look, enmity with God. You're against God. You're an enemy of God. Don't think that you are a Christian if you are somebody that is closely associating with people in the world. "Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God?" And I say this to the young people particularly, because when we're young, we have this weakness that we want to be accepted and liked and loved by this world. And that is sinful. Our desire should be to want to be pleasing to the Father, not to be idolized and appreciated by this world. Well, God says, if you are at friendship with the world, you're an enemy of God. And that's quite serious. You cannot maintain friendship with God and friendship with the world at the same time. It's impossible. Because when you're with your friends, you'll end up doing the things that your friends want to do. And those things that your friends want to do are always against what God wants, the way they speak, the things that they look at, the things that they buy, the things that they do, the things that they admire, the things that they approve of are the things that God disapproves of. The things that they endorse are the things that God condemns. The things that they laugh at are the things that God gets angry at. And you put yourself in a terribly compromising situation. You cannot be a friend of the world and be a friend of God. So what do we do with the people that we meet, our acquaintances? Let's call them acquaintances, because we cannot be friends in the true sense. What do we do with those people who we meet in the world? Well, let's let the Bible speak. Firstly, we must not be yoked with them, or unequally yoked with them. Please turn with me, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. Now, this evening, young people, older people, the Bible is speaking to us, God is speaking to us through His Word. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Well, firstly, the Apostle Paul brings us the imagery of two oxen that are yoked together. Now, I trust you all know what a yoke is. It's that piece of wood that would be put across two animals that they would plow and work together and pull the plow. They join together. They are working together. They're in unison. They are progressing. They're moving in the same direction. Now, Paul says, if you are a Christian, do not. He doesn't say you should not, but he says do not. That means don't. Not means this is a choice, but don't. Under any circumstance, you don't compromise on this. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Simple. You cannot have like-mindedness and work together and be tied in relationships, friendships and bonds with unbelievers. You can't. And if you are not prepared to make that choice, I say to you, may as well give up now. Because if you do have close friendships, you are going to be the one that's going to pay in the end. That's the cost. Because he'll pull you off in another direction. God is telling you to plow the straight field, to not look back as you plow, but to go on in the direction that he has told you. And if you fail to do that and you join with somebody else, you're going in the opposite direction of God. God wants us to go, look there, in the way of righteousness. Do you see the picture? He wants to go in the way of unrighteousness. You want to go in the way of righteousness. It doesn't work. Now, you may have some things in common with these people, but the spirit of it all is wrong. The spirit of why you live and what you do. You are supposed to be doing everything to the glory of God, but he's not. He's living unto himself. How can there be unison? How can there be communion? What hath communion? Light with darkness. You're light, he's dark. They're opposites. You are opposite. You belong to the kingdom of heaven, whereas he belongs to a world of darkness. Sin. You are called to be a child of God. He is a child of wrath. How can that work? It cannot work. Impossible. So he says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Do not join yourself with unbelievers. Now, that's not to say that we don't talk to unbelievers. Of course we do. You help them. You do good to all men. You're kind to them. That's the way you can be a friend. But understand, you can be a friend to them, but they cannot be a friend to you. You are there to do them good, to love them, but they can never love you. Understand that. You can live godly before them, but remember, you serve a holy God, whereas he serves mammon. Remember, he's an acquaintance. Don't call him a friend. Don't ever think of any unbeliever as a friend. If you disagree with what I'm saying, show me in the Bible where it says anywhere that an unbeliever is my friend or is your friend. But rather, the Word of God tells us that the world is our enemy. And those people that you think are close friends, young people, they're not your friends because they do not have your deepest interest at heart. God says, if you are a friend of them, you're an enemy of mine. These friends are either going to cause you to compromise, leading you to adultery against God, or it's going to end as a breakup in your relationship with them. When you do that, and actually that's even worse, because they will never understand what you're doing. So just keep them as close acquaintances, that's it. You cannot do the things that they do, Better to keep your distance from such people. Look with me. Let's look on. Verse 15. Here he's now drawing another analogy. And what concord? Well, the word there in the Greek is the word symphonesis. That's where we get the word symphony. You've all heard a beautiful orchestra, a symphony orchestra. He says, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel or an unbeliever? What fellowship has light with darkness? Does Christ have fellowship with Belial, the devil? No. We cannot have fellowship. You cannot have things in common with the world. A symphony orchestra. Somebody in an orchestra trying to play an instrument that does not suit the orchestra. There is no symphony. Or maybe you can imagine two people walking together in harmony, in symphony. And you can imagine their legs tied together. And they're trying to walk. You ever seen people three-legged walking? Two legs are tied together. And one leg, so you've got their leg, your one leg tied to theirs and your other leg. And you are trying to move this leg at the same time. There's no harmony. Why? Because every time he goes to make a step, it's out of step with your step. You are trying to walk in step with the Lord, but he is walking in step with the world. There's no symphony. There's no harmony. There will always be discord, not concord. Not harmony. The timing will be out. And therefore the whole symphony will be a mess. And so this is the analogy, and this is what he's saying. If you are walking with God, how will you ever agree with the world? How will you ever agree with the things that your friends are doing? Well, you won't. Unless, of course, you make compromises, which a lot of young people do. They then end up talking like the world because they don't want the world to hate them. The pressure's on, you see. They want to be accepted with the world. The pressure's on, the pressure's on. And look what else what he says. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? What does Paul say elsewhere in 1 Corinthians 6? He says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God? You are the temple of God. God's Holy Spirit has come to live and to dwell in you as a Christian. And you are the temple of God. What agreement, therefore, has the temple of God with idols? If you are walking with God, how will you agree with the world? Whose God is their belly? That's what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3. Whose God is their belly? And whose glory is their shame? Who mind earthly things. They mind earthly things. You mind heavenly things. You and your body are seeking to glorify God. He and his body is seeking to please his appetites. You can't have fellowship with the world, young people. You can't be friends with a world that idolizes its body, its image, its whole person, but does not glorify God. So contrary. They idolize themselves. You idolize God. It just doesn't work. Somebody's going to cave in. And let me tell you, the world is far stronger than you. The person in the world is much stronger than your will. But thanks be to God, if you are a Christian, he that is in you is stronger than he that is in the world. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. That's what Paul says. And because of righteousness, you will make a separation. Because of righteousness, because of Christ in you, you will not love the world. And you will make that separation. You will glorify God in your body. You will see the need to make that distinction, to make that separation. Let's read the rest of verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them. Now, does God dwell in you? And how can you say, when you're sat there at your friend's house, playing computer games all day long, that God dwells in you? You can't. Can you? Is God pleased to see you hang around with people that smoke and drink and get drunk and tell dirty jokes? You have to ask, does God dwell in you? Because if God does dwell in you, look what it says. I will dwell in them and walk in them. And walk in them. What does that mean? And walk in them. That means God, by his Holy Spirit, walks with you in the paths of righteousness. The Lord is my shepherd. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Honestly, are you walking in the paths of righteousness? Are you abstaining from relationships and friendships with the world? Well, you must do. Oh, you can be an acquaintance of the world, but you cannot walk with God, as we say, read here, as God says, I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You're not God's child if you have these close friends. And we need, friends, to walk with the Lord, and we need to be careful about what friendships we make. Let's look at verse 17. Wherefore, God says, come out from among them. See what God says? Separate yourself. Now again, I'm not saying, you need to just not talk to people. That would be wrong. That would be completely wrong. That's not what we're saying. But what we are saying is, do not be unequally yoked with the world. Don't call the world your friend. Be prepared to say this: the world hates me. Just as Jesus said. Are you young people prepared to accept that your acquaintances will hate you? Because if you're not prepared to say that and live up to that now, you better give up right now. Don't waste the Lord Jesus Christ's time. Don't waste my time. You've got to make a separation. It says here, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Yes, you must talk to people. Yes, you must help them when they need help. Yes, you must give them advice when they ask, and witness to them about Jesus Christ. But understand this, they can never be your friend. You can be a friend to them, but that's as far as it goes. It cannot go any further. Work with them in the job place. We can't cut ourselves off, but friends, we've got to understand we've got to be separate. It's not to say we don't have people around, but understand when we have them around, we can't drink the drink they drink. We can't tell the dirty jokes that they tell. We can't buy the things that they buy. We've got to be separate. And I didn't say it. God said it. If you love the world, it shows the love of God is not in you. Turn with me to 1 John 2, verse 15. 1 John 2, verse 15. John says, love not the world. And here's, this is interesting. Those of you who would dispute, oh, well, okay, well, this is the things of the world. Well, no, John draws a distinction. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Do you see that? He's distinguishing between people and things. He says, love neither. When we talk about love, we're talking about close bonds, close fellowship. Now look, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. God will not have a rival. You're either his friend, as Jesus says in John 15, or you're not. If you're his friend, you need to make a separation between your friends in the world and the Lord Jesus. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. At all. It's not that you have a little love for Jesus. There's no love for Jesus. Here's another thing. How do you know whether somebody is the Lord's? Well, firstly, if they confess faith in Jesus Christ and if they keep his commandments. But if you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 22, we read that one of the marks of an unsaved man is that he's angry. The world is angry with God. That's why the world does not want to come to God, because the world does not want to bow down to God. Submit to him and submit to his rule. Proverbs 22, verse 24. One of the marks of an unsaved man is that he's angry. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Why? Why? Well, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Now, the Bible is very clear that bad company corrupts good habits. If people are angry about God and you hang around them, and they just have a bad attitude, maybe even an indifferent attitude toward God, those habits will rub off on you. Don't think your habits will rub off on them. They need to be converted. They need to be born again. You cannot convert them. They need to be born again. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. You know, true friends are true Christians. Those are really your only friends. And if we don't learn that early in our life, we're going to come into big problems as Christians. Big, big problems. Now, I have a lot of acquaintances who are not Christians, and I keep my distance, a healthy distance. Oh, yes, sir, I will talk to them and help them, but that's as far as it can go. But your true friends are Christians, and they always will be. And even then, it's not essential to have Christians as friends. You can get through, because we have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Christian friends are important, very important. But even then, that's not essential. The question is, are we friends of God? Abraham, the Bible says, he was a friend of God. What about you? True Christian friends will always be a blessing. Your real friends should be Christians. The young people in this church, the people you should be closest to, are the young people in this church who are Christians. And older Christians. And we've got to learn as Christians, it doesn't matter how old somebody is. We're not ageist. We don't have cliques in the church. Anybody who is a Christian is your friend. But a true friend is somebody that is going to be honest with you. Proverbs 27 verse 6 says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." The world will flatter you. The world will tell you lies, but a Christian will always tell you the truth. David had a number of friends. One of them was Jonathan. Jonathan was a loyal friend to David, and he came to David when he needed strengthening. He helped David. Scriptures say he strengthened his hand in God. Let me read to you 1 Samuel 23:16. "And David abode in the wilderness in strongholds," and this is when Saul, Jonathan's father, was chasing him like a partridge in a mountain. "And David abode in the wilderness in strongholds and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life. And David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the wood and strengthened his hand in God." Now there's a friend who takes your hand and puts it in the hand of God. It says, remember who God is for us. A friend who is really a friend is somebody that draws you near to God. That's who Jonathan was. When everything was bad, there was a friend. Your real friends will come when everything is low. The friends of this world only want to know you when there's a little bit of money or when you're popular. And mark it down. Your friends will only want to know you when you're popular. But the real friend, the Christian, is the one that strengthens your hand in God. Your real friend is the one that helps you and takes you to the friend of friends, Jesus Christ. That's a real friend. A friend is a friend in Christ. And those are the friends, the only friends we really need, because they know the friend of sinners. Who are our friends? Let them only be Christians. The rest are acquaintances. People we know, not people we trust. We can only trust Jesus Christ. The Bible says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. You can have no confidence, young people, in people who claim to be your friends. They're your enemies. Why? Because they're the enemies of God. And if you are prepared to make friends with the world, remember God says, you're my enemy. Your only friend is Jesus Christ and those who follow him. So I trust a timely word for you young people in the holidays. Be careful where you spend your time, what you do. Don't let the world influence you. John says, love not the world, nor the things in the world, the people in the world, nor the things in the world. Proverbs 23:17 says, envy thou not sinners. Don't admire sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Friends, we want to walk with Christ because there's real friendship. John says, we write to you that we may have fellowship with you. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Who do you have fellowship with? Paul tells us here in 1 Corinthians, what fellowship has light with darkness? Does Christ have fellowship with Belial, the devil? No. We cannot have fellowship. You cannot have things in common with the world. You cannot walk in symphony. You cannot walk in accord with them. There will be a compromise and it will be to your peril. Learn to make real friends, Christians, and especially Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's have a moment in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we give thanks for thy word. We give thanks for the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks for the family of God. And we do pray for our young people and all of us that, Lord, we might guard our relationships. Lord, that we may truly walk in the light of thy word. We pray that we will make no compromises. We pray that we will indeed care for the people in the world. But we pray that we would heed that admonition of Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. And those relationships that we have destroy us. Let us walk with our God. Let us not enter into the path of the wicked and not in the way of evil men. May we avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it and pass away. Lord, we pray, keep us in the way of righteousness. Please bless the young people's meeting here on Friday, and may we know the blessing of the Lord and many new friendships in Christ grow in the grace and the knowledge of him. We give thanks for those words of our blessed Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who said, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Now may the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen.